Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to another exciting episode of Zed Games. Heard in Brisbane on 4ZZZ. Thank you to the magic of FM broadcasting around Australia on the Community Radio Network for the benefit of humankind. And I am Razor, your host, and I am joined by my illustrious co-hosts. Firstly, the chief, Miss Alana Pierce.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And the excellent Jody McGregor.
Hi, everyone.
And Major Lee.
Hey, there's that name again that I've got.
What was that song we just heard, Razor?
That was MC Chris with Fet's Vet.
Does your backpack have jets?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
And we have an exciting episode for you guys today. Alana has still got more information to tell us about Gamescom.
Sure, I've been playing some games and reflecting on them.
Yep.
What do you guys want to hear about?
Well, unreleased games, right?
Dying Light. I played The Sims 4. I played Ori and the Blind Forest. I don't know if I spoke about that last week.
I think you did.
I did. There's a long list. I would really like to talk about Dying Light, though.
Yep.
That's exciting.
And Lee, Jody, and I have been playing Screen Sheet, which is a four-player deathmatch game where you're invisible, but you have to use the other people's screens to cheat.
You have to cheat.
Yep, you have to cheat, and that's how you win. But it is also Radiothon, so we're going to be talking about all the prizes that we're giving away. We're going to be talking about all of the awesome prizes that you can win if you subscribe this week. And hopefully we'll be able to convince you to subscribe to 4ZZZ and help the cause by the end of this episode. We have some amazing prizes. We've got like close to $2,000 worth of prizes to give away. So
yeah,
really excited about that.
We could have held on to that as well. So we're pretty generous.
But let's get this episode started as usual with the week in gaming news headlines. Jody McGregor, are you up for the task?
Sure thing, Ray. Video game streaming service Twitch has been acquired by Amazon for $970 million. Launched in 2011, Twitch has become one of the most popular online destinations for streaming video, logging 55 million unique viewers per month. In a statement emailed to users this week, Twitch CEO Emmett Shear said, "We're keeping most everything the same, our office, our employees, our brand, and most importantly, our independence. But with Amazon support, we'll have the resources to bring you an even better Twitch."
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Not as much as what was rumored originally, though, was Google for $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder what actually happened there, like if Google were actually planning on buying it and then, you know, Amazon came up underneath and stole it, or if it was all just a bunch of lies.
What I heard was that Google were interested in stealing it, but due to competition laws, they couldn't because already owning YouTube.
I think it's better if they're owned by separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon also said they didn't have any plans to change it at all, like all the staff is staying the same and everything, so I think that's... I would have been surprised if YouTube didn't tamper with things, so I feel like this is for the best.
Yeah, it's already working. 55 million, it's doing well. They don't need to fiddle with Twitch. Hackers have brought down several high-profile gaming services, including Sony's PlayStation Network, Blizzard's Battle.net, Microsoft's Xbox Live, and League of Legends this week. The hackers used DDoS, or distributed denial-of-service attacks, to overload the servers, causing them to go offline for several hours. Hacking group Lizard Squad has taken responsibility for the attack. During the same period, Lizard Squad's Twitter account posted a bomb threat, claiming there were explosives aboard an American Airlines flight carrying Sony Online Entertainment president John Smedley, causing the flight to be diverted.
That's mature.
Yeah, I think this is just one of those, like, lulsec, you know, a bunch of bored young computer nerds who are just doing it because they can.
Yeah.
It has to be a lot of them, though. Like, for that kind of DDoS, because the way that it works basically is that you trick a server or a website into thinking it has way too much traffic and then it crashes. So for them to be able to do that, there's got to be a lot of them. Like a large team of them, potentially with zombie computers.
You can use a script to make the same computer appear to be different IP addresses and just do it like over.
Yeah, but it's still like super complicated to actually make it work on PSN. Like, I just feel like they should, you know, these guys are obviously talented. They should be doing better stuff.
They should be.
Also,
I agree with that.
I feel like tweeting a bomb threat wouldn't be that hard to find out who did it. Like, couldn't you just contact Twitter and be like, hi, we got a bomb threat from this account. Can you give us some of the details?
I assume that to have the confidence to make that threat, they would have had they would have taken the precautions to make sure they couldn't be traced. That's what I imagine.
Yeah. This is a group of very clever lizards that we're dealing with here, is what you're saying.
The collective name for lizards is actually a lounge. So they even got that wrong, so they're not that clever.
Yeah.
Should be lizard lounge, not lizard squad.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together!
Fez creator Phil Fish has declared that he'll sell his company and all of the rights to Fez after becoming the victim of hackers who published his sensitive personal data online. The Polytron website and Twitter account were compromised, and passwords to Fish's email, website, and PayPal accounts, as well as social security details and financial records, home address, and bank account were published to the front page of the Polytron website. A statement written by the hacker on Polytron's website said that Fish was targeted due to his support of Zoe Quinn, an indie games developer who has been targeted by hackers and bullies online. Just before closing his personal Twitter account, Fish wrote, "I would like to announce that Polytron and the Fez IP are now for sale. No reasonable offer will be turned down. I am done. I want out. Run away. Just don't do it. Give up your dreams. They are actually nightmares. Nothing is worth this. To every aspiring game developer out there, don't give up. It's not worth it. This is your audience. This is video games."
So it's been a stellar week for the industry, really.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd be very proud to be a gamer.
Mm. Yeah, maybe we should change the theme of our show to anything else. What else do we have in common? We like cheese?
I love cheese.
All right, cheese.
All right, that's it.
Zed cheese.
Yeah.
And this is even, like, I've been watching a lot of this but haven't commented on any of it, like the Zoe Quinn stuff, because I don't want to add fuel to fire and it's just so disgusting. But, like, a lot of the people are saying that Phil Fish and Zoe Quinn both hacked themselves. They're like, you did this for attention. Like, who does that? And apparently, like, a lot of the numbers Zoe Quinn said were her and her father's actually led to, like, some motorbike website and all of this major conspiracy trash that's just so over the top.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a very compelling argument there.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But they'd say the opposite.
Yeah.
Both sides aren't really listening to each other right now, and the whole thing has just gone massively out of proportion, and then a new feminist frequency video was uploaded today, and the internet's just an even worse place.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of jerks out there.
Yep. Phil Fish was right. Get out.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Fish, he's gone on the record as, you know, he's outspoken. He is a bit of a jerk, I guess, but even so, he doesn't deserve this. I don't think anyone deserves that sort of treatment, especially for someone who basically lives online. For every password to everything you've got to be published, I don't know, it kind of terrifies me a little.
His crime was being kind of a jerk about video games in a movie once, and then also supporting someone who was being endlessly bullied by jerks, and they ruined his life. Mm. Like, there's no, like, there's no balance there.
Yeah.
And all of the people doing on the bullying are, like, fake accounts that have only been made a few days ago. Mm. But I just don't understand why. Like, for context, for anyone who doesn't know, the Zoe Quinn thing is basically, like, some kind of weird sex scandal where someone implied that she had slept with journalists for positive reviews, but there are no positive reviews on the internet from any of those journalists, yada yada. But the entire thing is just, it's this massive conspiracy that's just come out of nowhere, and even if it was correct, I don't think any of the abuse anyone is getting to the scale that they're getting is in any way justified.
It's not even really relevant anyway. Like, a person's personal life isn't, has no bearing.
People are,
on,
like, twisting it in their heads to make it seem like it is relevant, and it's just the most bizarre thing to watch.
Yeah, it's really ugly.
Mm.
I think humans just have a need for drama, and if there's even a small inkling of it, they'll sort of expand on it, compound it to make it a big thing, because they just thirst for drama.
Yeah.
Nintendo and Bandai Namco will join forces to create Pokken Tournament, a Tekken-style fighting game starring Pokemon, to be released in Japan arcades next year. Details are scarce at the moment, but interested parties can find a short trailer that has been released online.
Thank God for some good news after all of that.
Yay!
A new Pokemon game where
heck
they fight.
Yes!
Yeah.
So it's only been announced for Japanese arcades, but I think
it's Pokemon. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think there's going to be enough of a vocal outcry that'll come over to the West.
Yeah, hopefully to the Wii U. then, you know, Pokemon fighting game.
Get out, you goddamn Nintendo fanboy. Who paid you?
Oh, no. Just don't release my details online. My passwords are far
I'm
too
sorry, I shouldn't
crack.
Have said that.
Well, that's it for this week's news headlines. Stay tuned to Zed Games because we have a great show for you guys. We'll be talking about our Radiothon prizes as well as previews of some unreleased games and the Three Amigos. We're going to be talking about Screen Sheet. Miss Candy Payne is due for an appearance later in the episode. She is has been delayed by traffic, I think, but hopefully she'll make it in time for the end. But let's hear a song. This one's by local band Regurgitator and it's called Answering Machine. Jody Lee and I have been playing a game called Screen Sheet. It's for the PC. It's still in beta, so it isn't quite finished yet, but we got an early preview and we had the chance to play together. So, guys, what'd you think?
It's a really interesting idea. Apparently, the idea came out of a games jam, like a 48-hour thing, and the concept is a really cool one. It's for up to four players who are all invisible, but you can see the other players' viewpoints as well as your own, so when we were playing it, it was really disorienting, right? You're trying to keep an eye on where you are, obviously, and where your weapon is aiming, but also looking at the other players and trying to get clues from, like, what color the walls are around them to figure out where they are when they're all running around at the same speed as you. And it has that old-school first-person shooter thing of everybody running and jumping quite fast. The people who cheated when we were playing GoldenEye as kids, now I have a newfound respect for them because it's hard.
Yeah, it really does feel very much like GoldenEye as well, which I thought was quite striking, even though it's very, very different in its aesthetic and in the weapons that you have available. There's something about it that just the way that everything moved and just the fact that maybe Ray is a jerk, just like I imagine he would have been in GoldenEye, it took me back.
To find the other players, so is it like colors and landmarks? And
yes.
How big are the maps?
They're very small.
Okay.
And each map is divided up into four colored areas. There's a purple area and a red area. So one of the maps is a museum that has multiple levels, and like the highest level will be one color and the next level will be another. And then the other was sort of an outdoor area that was split up into four quadrants.
Yeah, it was a garden.
Yeah. So you can always just quickly glance over and get the color to have a vague idea of where people are. But then there's weird stuff. There's like paintings on the walls and there's a statue of an elephant and there's a horse and there's a bridge. And you get better clues from that kind of stuff.
Kind of moment where you see an elephant statue and then you look in someone else's screen and you're like, hang on, that's that same elephant statue from a slightly different angle. What?
Yeah.
And then you die.
Yeah. So are you completely invisible or are you video game invisible? Where it's like a little weird silhouette.
You're completely
invisible
unless you're firing a weapon and then there might be a bit of an outburst.
Yes, because I was like, it's going to be hard to aim even if you do know where they are. How does anyone die?
Yeah. But we should point out the fact that it works at all is a real testament to the level design. Like, they're really tightly built, and the fact that they've got a really clever idea of using a combination of not just the colors but also well-placed props to help orient you. Like, we racked up a lot of kills. We were actually able to play the game when it should be impossible. I think that's a really impressive thing to even be able to achieve that goal is kind of neat.
Yeah, somebody obviously put a lot of effort into figuring out exactly how wide a walkway can be so that two people can squeeze past each other but probably won't. Mm. And if you're shooting down it, you will probably hit someone. I feel like there's been a lot of iterations of the levels to get all of the, you know, the width of the doorways and everything perfect, because it is actually possible. I got shot from the other side of the map by one of you jerks.
I don't know how you did it, but you did.
Yeah.
Did you find yourselves using like different tactics to normal to stop other people from figuring out where you are when you're walking around?
Yeah, there are some neutral areas, like there's a hedge that's green that runs around the map no matter which quadrant you're in. So I found, like, if I just concentrated my viewpoint so that I could only see that, it was impossible to tell where I was.
But then how do you know where you are yourself?
Well, I don't. But the other guys can't kill me, so it's all good.
Oh, right.
Well, like, I mean, he knows where he is because he got there. Like, he's not
blind.
He's just
walking around looking at a hedge.
Well, yeah, okay.
You can quickly just, like, switch out quickly for it to find out where you are, and then no one else hopefully was paying attention.
Are you looking at other people's screens, like, the whole time?
Yeah, you see them all the time. So you've
got to... how much do you actually look at them?
Well, otherwise you won't be able to know where to shoot at all. So you've got to keep looking and try to triangulate their position based on what you know as well. So what I found was that I would generally... like, you would focus on one screen or the other. Like, you couldn't really, like, just have all that information going in at once.
Unless you're a Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was following... Lee at one point and just about to get him when Ray came up behind me. I had no idea. I was concentrating on my screen and Lee's screen and not paying enough attention to the other one. So you do need to learn to split your attention equally, and that is hard.
Yeah.
But I think it'll become second nature the more you play the game. I know back when I was playing GoldenEye, we had my mate Robbie, who owned the game, right? So everyone would go around to his place. And naturally, because he had, you know, 24-hour access to this game, he became a lot better than everyone else at it. So he learnt that tactic where you would, you know, screen sheet. You'd barely pay attention to your own screen, and you'd sort of divide your attention among the other screens, and that was how you got the advantage. So I think he got good at it over a period of months. So I think if you stuck with this game, it could become second nature.
I think that's, like, with GoldenEye, that's because you learn the maps, and then as soon as you look at someone else's screen, you know exactly where they are. Like, I remember one level where there's a bathroom, and I just, like, hide in the stalls and then wait till I knew that someone was walking down the underpass, like, that was just outside the bathroom, and just walk out there and shoot them and then walk back in. Because, like, that map wasn't overly big either, I guess. Mm. But with screen sheet, another question... if you're aware that everyone else is looking for you just as much, like, would you be hesitant to approach someone if you actually know where they are? Would you be like, oh, God, this person's exactly here. Should I avoid them and wait for the other two? I just feel like it would be way more intense because you're all invisible.
Yeah, you got to keep moving, though. It's an old-school first-person shooter, so it plays a bit more like Quake than anything else. So you're very fast. You can jump around. Your weapons, they've got infinite ammo, so you're just constantly... flitting about, and I guess that you don't have enough time to hesitate and worry about other people. You just have to adapt.
What kind of weapons are there? Standard?
There's a blunderbuss, which is like your slow reloading up close weapon. There's a revolver, which can fire like 6 shots before you need to reload, but is a very narrow field. What's the other? There's another gun, and then there's the hand-to-hand weapon, which is a candelabra.
Yeah, I think there's a cannon.
A grenade launcher.
Oh, yeah, there's a grenade launcher. And then we found that the up-close weapon, which is just a huge candlestick that you swing at people, is actually the most powerful. We didn't use it until, like, we'd been already been playing for a while, and then someone was just like, oh, what the hell, I'm going to try the dumb weapon. And then we found it was massively overpowered.
Yeah,
really
run was. Around swinging this thing in an arc. And it's one-hit kills for everything. Every weapon, you only need to hit somebody once because it's pretty hard to hit someone. So we were just running around with that thing, belting each other to death.
And it kind of takes away the point of the game because you can kind of just sweep areas, and then if someone accidentally gets in your way, they die. So I think they should probably nerf that.
Yeah, that was something that we did, that I certainly shouted at one point, was nerf Candelabra.
Yeah. Candelabra is OP.
Yeah.
I may have shouted that at some point.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. But there are only 2 or 3 game modes and only 2 maps to try out at the moment.
The third has just been added, but that happened after we played together, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, so...
what are the game modes?
There is, like, a deathmatch, just, like, everyone in the arena and,
first five kills.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a King of the Hill mode as well, where you have to take control of an area and then...
I was thinking Capture the Flag would be really cool.
Imagine if the flag was visible.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the King of the Hill, the hill shifts throughout the game, so it sort of moves the action to different parts of the map, which is cool.
Yeah, that was actually really well implemented. And it also changed the dynamic as well, because if you knew that someone was in there, it narrowed... the field of, you know, possibilities.
Yeah, and if you could see that another person was in the hill with you, it got really frantic and you were just running around and around in circles inside that little hill zone, trying desperately to shoot them. But
what's the sound like? Because I keep thinking of GoldenEye in my head, I'm just picturing all these GoldenEye sounds, but I imagine it's nothing like that.
I think all of the voice work was done by one of the developers.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, there's that. there are gun sounds, and there's music.
Yeah, there's sort of like techno music playing.
Yeah.
It's sort probably of minimal. It's obviously something, I think, that they're still working
yeah,
on.
It's yeah, it's placeholder, I would yeah, say.
One thing that I think could use improving is that the weapons, apart from the candlestick, are a bit too precise. So you really, like, it's got... There's no shotgun that's sort of a catch-all, I'm just going to shoot whatever in front of me. It's like the rifle, you have to really know what you're shooting. And, of course, your opponents are invisible, so there's a lot of, you know, shooting the air. And I think that there should be a shotgun or maybe just a greater range of or bigger hitboxes or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like some kind of Uzi where you can just spray.
Yeah, well, there's no automatic weapon. So, you know, it's a single shot. So, yeah, it's very challenging.
I guess the fact that it is single shot kill does mean that anything like that might throw off the balance, particularly any way that you can hit a wide range without really knowing where your opponent might be would disrupt the nature of it. So they may that might be an omission on purpose rather than just an oversight.
I think you're right there. We have been talking about Screen Sheet, which is in beta, and you can grab that on Steam for what? How much?
$10.
$10-ish.
PC, Mac, and Linux, and it'll be finished in October-ish, they say.
You are listening to Zed Games on brought to you by 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. It is your favorite radio show, and we are now going to be further grilling Alana on the subject of GamesCon, which you were at 2 weeks ago now. You went to Germany.
Just over a week ago, yeah.
Yes.
A week and a half. Feels weird, actually.
Yeah.
I was in Germany a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Now you're here.
I am.
And you can tell us about video games.
What video games would you like to hear about?
I would like to hear about The Sims 4, starting now.
thanks for not pressuring me or anything. So The Sims 4, I got to play the creator sim, which is already pretty much open to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then the actual, I guess, game. I don't know what to call it. The game? The game beyond the creator sim.
Yep.
And I had my little chick, got her a job. Everything felt, honestly, extremely similar. So similar to The Sims 3 that I almost questioned why they were making another game.
Right.
I was like, how is this different? Maybe if you had the two directly next to each other. But in the, 40 minutes I played, I couldn't really tell the difference.
I understand that they've changed all of the user interface stuff that was very fiddly, all the sliders that you needed to deal with.
That stuff is way better. I mean, the creator sim itself, you can now basically, like, pull your sim, like, clay instead of using sliders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can literally just sculpt them, and that is pretty cool. You can kind of do the same with the houses as well. Obviously, I didn't get to do too much building because my chick was super, super broke. So, you know, that's always a problem.
Yeah.
But there are still cheats in this game, which is obviously great
of
to
course.
Hear.
Yeah.
But as I am, you know, the epitome of ethics, I refuse to cheat.
Yeah.
Of course. But yeah, the build mode, and the reason that I play The Sims mostly is for building sweet houses, like getting money and then building sick houses. Is like 90% of my motivation to play The Sims, and then I build a sweet house and I'm like, well, until next time, and then play it again in a year. It's fantastic. So you basically just pick a shape from a thing below where you used to be able to pick, like, you just pick a straight wall where you used to draw a bunch of lines on squares. This time you kind of drop whatever shape room you want, and then you pull the different walls in different directions instead of ever having to draw anything yourself. And if you come back to it later after you've already built a room, you can still pick apart one part of one of the walls and then pull it, and all of the furniture or all of the things that are attached to that wall will move with you instead of you needing to take the whole thing down, repaint it, put your windows back on, put your lights back on, and, you know, organize everything else around it and redo your carpet. It just automatically just pulls everything along with you.
It should have been like that from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really fantastic, and definitely, like, the biggest change in the game is how much easier things are when I never really thought they were that complicated.
Listeners, five people just started nodding their heads independently during that.
Yeah, that's some building.
In my head, really, I was actually thinking, life should be like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to renovate, you should be able to move the whole thing and not have to, like, repaint.
So you can actually pick up your entire house and, like, move it around your lot, but one thing that you can't do, which was an awkward question to ask, is the garden won't move with the house. So, like, I tend to make, like, gardens with, like, one pink plant and then one yellow plant and then one blue plant, and then I make it, like, a little checkerboard pattern. and I like surround my house with it perfectly, but it takes ages to do. But all of your gardens will stay exactly where you first put them. So you can like move your house around, but you don't get to move the garden with it.
So look out for that in The Sims 5 coming 2017.
Yeah, I demand it.
Dig up one garden patch and move it.
It's like it hadn't occurred to them. They were like, huh, no, you can't do that. Like,
people don't garden. What?
Apparently. I don't know. But in The Sims 4 they do because you don't have a choice. Woohoo! But one thing they keep harping on about is the change in personalities of The Sims and how much the traits that you pick for your Sims. So you get to pick three. One of the ones that I picked was like glutton, which means that I picked it because the person that I was making liked food. I was like, this is the really kind of insulting way to do this, but whatever. So that basically just means that instead of getting sick when they eat certain kinds of food, they don't even care anymore. So it's like
sweet power.
Yeah, I know. Like if they eat bad food, they don't care. Whereas like a foodie sim will get really angry and is all wanky and pretentious. Yay. So all of the traits, instead of just affecting their life goals or aspirations like they did in previous ones, actually affect things that make them upset or things that make them happy. And in apparently, like, really diverse ways. Like, if you have an evil sim, sometimes they'll get mad if someone's nice to them. Sometimes they'll get mad if someone's evil to them. So it's not, you know, predictable or standard. It kind of, every time that you play, even if you have the same set of traits with a combination of different traits, everything will realistically play out differently in their interactions. So that's cool, but I don't care. I just want to build sweet houses.
Excellent. Now, you got to play one of the upcoming Assassin's Creed games as well, right?
Yeah, I played Assassin's Creed Unity.
Ooh. That's the one that's just coming for Xbox One and PS4.
That's correct, yeah. Yes. Whereas Assassin's Creed Rogue will be on the old gen. Are we calling it old gen yet?
The last grandpa gen. Consoles.
Yeah, last gen. I mean, I can't really criticize it for this because the game's still in beta, but it was a buggy mess. Yeah. I had to restart it like three times. Like, they wouldn't let us film in there. That's the only room I wasn't allowed to film in. And we were like, oh, why is that? And they were like, oh, we'll just send you B-roll. And I was like, so basically what you mean is the game's really bad. We want to send you shiny footage to where it's actually functional. So there was stuff like getting stuck in walls and like weird little glitches where we were trying to actually like get into this co-op mission and it just wouldn't connect. And it was a mess. But what I actually...
That's why they had the revolution, though, because society was broken.
Yeah, that it's all a metaphor.
Level. Yeah.
Can't wait to play it. So what I actually played was one of the co-op missions with a French guy, fittingly enough, because it's obviously in France, which is cool. So you basically... They're not what I expected. I expected that it would be like Dead Rising, if anyone's played those, where you're just playing the single... player campaign and someone just jumps into your game and just joins you. It's not like that at all. It's like you're playing the single player and then there's little points on the map where it's like, this is a co-op mission. And then you go over there and it'll sort of like mini matchmake and put you with someone else and then you do the co-op mission. They're like extra missions that you can't do by yourselves, online only. And there's like different star ratings for them. So some of them are harder than others and stuff. And the one I did was just like a little, I don't want to call it a heist because then it makes you think of Grand Theft Auto when it was not that cool. Basically, you like had to stealth your way into a building. You'd fail if you got caught and then like steal something and get out. Doing it with a friend was actually really quite fun. Like coordinating stealth is something that I can't really think of many other co-op games that I've ever done that in. You know, if you go this way, I'll go this way. You throw a bomb now and then I'll like stab the dude. And it was actually quite fun to coordinate that.
I'm glad you've said that, because I watched the trailers, and then I thought it looks great in the trailers, and that looks a lot of fun, and it's something that might get me online and wanting to play with people. But you know, until you actually hear it in person, I'm always just a bit it's a
trailer. Kind of like that with everything
great,
to do with Assassin's Creed now. Just too many of them. But yeah, no, it actually genuinely was really quite fun. Yeah. And probably the biggest difference in the game, which is what they're using microtransactions for actually, is you can change your personal stats based on your clothing. So in the previous games, you had like certain different types of outfits and you could dye them different colors and stuff. Whereas this time, there's like maybe a library of like 100 different hoods and the different hoods will do different things. Like some of them have... higher attack, or some of them give you stealth benefits. So you basically have like, you know how like in a car game when you're choosing the car and you're like, that accelerates really high, but the brake's really bad, or the handling's really bad. Yeah. It's like that.
There's pants that make you go faster.
There are pants that
make you
pre-order.
Pre-order
now. So there are like different little things that, you know, like it ends up you have your own little personal bar, and the handy French guy who was next to me said that it would be like statistically impossible for anyone to have the exact same outfit as you beyond the initial part of the game.
Huh. I love stats. I wonder. Like to prove this wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if that's right, but yeah, it seemed like apparently by the end of the game, it's just not possible if everyone's customized their stuff, because there are heaps of different options you can customize, like your little vest thing and your assassin hood, which is actually really cool, because I'm probably just going to end up doing it to make myself look like a badass and just completely disregard all the stats anyway.
I do spend a lot of time dressing up in video games.
RPGs, it's so important to me. I'm like, oh, well, that does more damage, but this one's glowy.
Yeah.
Chloe, it is.
So you said this was microtransactions.
You don't have to.
So can you collect things along the way?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that you'd pick them up like loot, I think. I think you can also buy them from stores, variety of different things. Kind of like, I'm pretty sure in Assassin's Creed 2, you could buy different like get-ups and different swords from merchants and stuff.
Yeah, the previous ones have had things like that, but they've been complete outfits.
More streamlined, I think.
Yeah.
So I actually think that's going to be really, really interesting, but I feel like a lot of people's assassins are just going to be so horribly mismatched, because you'll be like, but I need the speed pants, but I don't have the speed hood, and you're just going to look like ridiculously rainbow, which I guess is cool if you're into that.
No.
But the microtransactions, the way that they've like plugged it to make it sound super cool is that you get a hack. They call it a hack. So you can buy a hack that lets you get this gear without you having to like obtain it in game.
You hack
like, really, actually, what you do is just pay money to get it. So, but that seems like there's heaps and heaps of clothing. And I think that'll actually make the co-op thing even more interesting, because we didn't really get a lot of time to customize what we were doing. But if there's, you know, one person who's particularly good with stealth, another person who's particularly good with whatever else, I'm not entirely sure what all the other stuff is. I feel like it'll make that coordination even more interesting, because, you know, you'll be like, okay, I can stealth kill this guy while you go do whatever, you know? So I'm pretty interested to see how it plays out. I'm not certain if you can pick to play it with a friend, but I assume that you can.
I hope so. Yeah.
It seemed like it just, you walk to that point, press Y to start mission, then it sort of match makes, and then you just go into it. But I imagine there's some kind of pairing party thing where you can make it work. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doesn't sound interesting to me if I'm playing with randoms who are just going to screw everything up, but it, you know, if I was playing with someone skilled like Candy to my left, I could definitely trust her to have my back.
I think it's only really going to be fun if you have a mic and like you actually coordinate what you're doing. Otherwise, it'll just be a shambled mess. Stealth games without being able to coordinate, just no. It's not going to work.
That's Assassin's Creed Unity, which comes out, early November?
October, I think?
October?
I'm not entirely sure. Yeah.
Later this year?
Yeah. And holiday season, yay.
You also spoke about The Sims 4, which comes out next
month. September 4th?
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Or a week.
It's like a week.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Have to get onto that.
And then Destiny.
Ooh, Destiny.
You guys excited?
Yeah, I am. I've still got my pre-order in, actually.
You don't sound that excited. You're like, yeah, I am. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I played a lot of it, and I'm a little bit, you know,
curious.
Destiny
I'm out. Mostly curious. I'm just interested to see how it all turns out. But
I'll probably pick it up anyway.
Yeah. See how that goes, I guess.
Okay, well, that's going to bring us to the end of this episode of Zed Games, guys. As usual, thanks for listening. Just a reminder, Radiothon's still on, so head to the Triple Z website for triplezfm.org.au. to subscribe. A full list of all the prizes that you can win if you subscribe and choose Zed Games as your favorite show is available on our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/zgamesau. And also, I just have to have a big shout out to Max, who came in and subscribed today and listed Zed Games as his favorite show. So good on you, Max.
What a winner.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next week. We have one more song, though. What have we got, Jody?
This is Sugar by 15 And.